All right, good morning to everybody. I'm going to echo what Rodney said. Good to be with everybody here this morning. As this outdoor service has evolved, and I'm just glad Rodney has got up here and taken part in it again and singing and stuff like that. It makes it more like our church service, and that's just what I want. I want that more and more for anything. More than anything else right now is to see people blessed, to see hearts stirred, to see people on fire for God still yet. If you would, I'm going to be preaching from the book of John, the 9th chapter. This scripture, we've been using this scripture a little bit here lately, but I want to go down a different route with this, if I could please. But John, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 30th verse, I'm going to read about four verses down to 34. John 9, 30 through 34. And it goes like this. The man answered and said unto them, "Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, has it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." Then the Pharisees answered, they answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sin, and doest thou teach us?" Now these last few words, what I want you to pay attention to. And it says here, "And they cast him out." And they cast him out. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, thanking you, Father, for all your mercy, for all your grace, for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. I ask you, Father, through your mighty hand, Lord, that, Father, that you would just open up the scripture here this morning in a way that would be pleasing unto you, Lord. I pray that you would get me out of the way, Lord. I pray, Father, that every heart and every soul and every mind here this morning would concentrate on what you're trying to tell us this morning, Lord. And, Father, we will give you the praise for it all. And amen. And amen. You know, as I preach, I like to take current events because it's fresh in your mind and try to bring things up to speed to where maybe you could understand what the Bible is meaning about certain things. A term has entered into our vernacular over the last decade or so, and it's called cancel culture. It has really come to the forefront these last 4 years. Cancel culture is this. It is the practice of withdrawing support for individuals or companies that have either said or done something that is objectionable or offensive to some other party. And can I tell you, it's usually done on social media. That's usually where the platform's done. And depending on which side of the group, depending on which side you listen to, it's either a conspiracy theory or something that's real. You know, as I looked into this, I found something. You know, if you want to find out if it's really real, you need to look at names like Robin Pollock. The name's Robin is spelled R-O-B-Y-N-P-L-A-K. So what I say that for, she is a dental assistant that lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but was fired, according to the news story that I read about this, for posting a MAGA 2020 post on her Facebook page beside the president was coming to that area, and she posted that on there, and she was fired because of it. I don't have time to go into all the other details, but that's why she was fired. Or how about a professor by the name of Felix Nagel, who was fired from his professor job for saying he believed the Bible and he believed God identified homosexuality as a sin. A student reported him, and he was fired. Or how about another one, a professor at the University of North Carolina at Wilmington, who was forced out of his job because he compared COVID-19 that was imposed by the governor of North Carolina to a slave trader, to a slave owner. He tweeted that. There was over 630,000 people signed a petition to have him fired. He ultimately lost his job. And in the end of it, he committed suicide because of all the bullying because of it. All over this nation, folks are losing jobs and being shamed because their beliefs differ from the mob on the social media platforms. Even folks who have been dead for hundreds of years are having their statues torn down or their names removed from buildings that they have been named after. The cancel culture mob, is this what it does, will not try to win the other side with arguments. Their main goal is to condemn and silence all that do not conform to their ideologies. That's their goal. And you know the sad part about it is? They will not accept apologies. Apologies are not taken. I recently read a story about a lady who had done something very inappropriate. The Twitter mob put her picture on Twitter and put her name. And below her name, they typed in this: she needs to have a good public shaming. Do your thing, Twitter, and ruin her life. And beside of it, they put a pink heart emoji. The lady publicly apologized, and you know what she got for her apology? She lost her job, she lost her house, she lost her career, and she even got death threats. Now get this, Twitter, do your thing. They shamed her and destroyed her life, and her apology means nothing. Now, if I could be straightforward, the point that I'm trying to get to everybody, I don't know whether you're involved in that or not. I don't know. That's not what I'm here to talk about. But what I should want to tell you this morning is that a Christian should not live their lives that way. They should not. The idea of the online mob is powerful in this day and age. It really is. If we could just get enough people to think like we think, then we could go against those who don't think like we do. If we could silence them, shame them, if we could cut them out of our lives, and forgiveness is not an option, Twitter, go do your thing, and then we could put the little pink heart emojis right beside of it, what we could do. I think expressing our opinion in the United States of America is a God-given right. Christians, as the Bible tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And we need to tell that story, no matter where it's at, over and over again, and we need to put as many pink heart emojis beside of it as we can. Absolutely. But what if we are not careful, what we get into is this. We put us in the same category as the mob, the cancel culture mob. What puts us in that same category is this: whenever we do not show forgiveness towards those that have wronged us. Because we are living in a society that doesn't give folks a second chance. Christians, can I tell you this morning, we should be giving folks a second chance. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ gave us a second chance? I am tickled to death this morning that He gave me a second chance. Matthew 24:12 says this: and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we see this running rampant in the United States of America today. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Man, could a whole lot of people use that today? Could they not use that today? Slow to speak. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You see, instead of listening and gathering all the facts, too many rush to anger, and people grow cold towards each other because of it. And Christians, if we are not careful, this same spirit of the age creeps into our lives as well. Yes, it does. It'll creep right in there if we are not careful, if we do not let Jesus Christ be the center of our lives. I believe this spirit is the same spirit that the Pharisees had. The Pharisees were the cancel culture of their day. And if you didn't do what they thought was right, they would put you from the temple, just like they did this man where I read the story to you here this morning. It said that he was put from the temple. He was driven from the church because he didn't go along with their ideology. And the Lord knows there's a lot of quick finger pointing out here in this world today, quick judging in this world today. The Pharisee spirit is alive and it is very well amongst a lot of people today. You see, one time Jesus was teaching the people when there was a commotion. And in this commotion, here come the Pharisees dragging a woman to them and threw her down in front of them in the midst of the crowd. And you know what they were doing? They were pointing their finger at her, but they were also pointing their finger at Jesus. Everyone got quiet, and the Pharisees pointed their finger at this woman, and they say, "We caught this woman in the very act of adultery." Now, can you hear the crowd? Well, what did she do? Can you hear them? And can you just hear them say, "Well, I wonder what she did." And then they said, "You know what?" Then they said, "She has committed adultery, the very act, caught in the very act of it." And you know what? Did you not hear the people saying, "Well, I would never do that. I would never do that. There's no way I would do that." Folks, if this would happen today, you know what people would do? People would take pictures with their phones. They would put it out on social media or put it on Twitter. And you know what they would do? They would say, "You know what? She needs a good public shaming is what she needs." Aren't you thankful that we serve a Lord that is better than that? And do you not agree with me today that Christians, we need to be better than that? Pharisees point their fingers at this woman. They say, "The law of Moses says we should stone her to death. What say you, Jesus?" And please don't miss the point here this morning. God is not driven by rage like we are. He is moved by compassion. The God that I serve is moved by compassion. You're looking at someone that deserved compassion up here this morning. I didn't deserve compassion, but He gave it to me anyway. Jesus tells them, who is without sin amongst you, cast the first stone. If the cancel culture would just grasp that. Unfortunately, I hope a lot of Christians would grasp that this morning as well. Does Christopher Columbus, Thomas Jefferson, and George Washington deserve to be canceled for their sins? Yes, they do. But can I tell you something else? I deserve to be canceled for my sins. And if you're honest, you deserve to be canceled for your sins. The only reason that we're not is because Jesus Christ stood up for us one day. That's why we don't deserve it. But you and I also deserve to be canceled. But praise His name. Praise His name. We have an opportunity to get out of this. For all have sinned and did what? Come short of the glory of God. James 15:1-16 tells us this. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, does what? It bringeth forth death. Then verse 16 tells us this. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Being separated from God eternally is the ultimate cancelization. It is. It's ultimate. But God will take heartfelt apologies this morning. He does. He takes us. When we come to Him in a broken and a contrite heart and say, "God, forgive me," He doesn't turn His back on us. He doesn't put us out on Facebook. He doesn't put little pink heart emojis beside of us and tell we need a good public shaming. That's not the God I serve, but said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that you and I don't have to be canceled." I don't know if Columbus or Jefferson or Washington ever come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but I can tell you this morning, if they did, they didn't get canceled. Why? Because God is full of compassion, and the God that I serve is full of love. He is that kind of a God. Praise His name this morning. How different would the story of the prodigal son have been if the father of the story had the cancel culture mentality that so many have today? The father would have said, "No, no, no. You just got what you deserved. You got what you wanted. Your apology's no good here, son. What if that story would have been like that? That he went to all these friends and neighbors and family and put it out there. Listen to what my son done to me, and he has the nerve to come back. You know, my youngest had some nerve to come back and ask what he did. But we all know that's not the way the story went, aren't we? Praise his name. If it says the father seen him coming a long way off, and what did he do? He said he had compassion. He had love on him. He had forgiveness for him. Can I tell you this morning? I don't know what the depths of your sin is here this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but the Father sees you a long way off. He has compassion. He has love. And if you come heartfeltly, He will save your soul this morning. He will make it right for you. That's the kind of God we have. He won't cancel you out. He had compassion. He had love. And He had forgiveness. Amen. This is what concerns me today about all that's going on today, all the cancel culture things concern me. They remove compassion and they disregard forgiveness. Can you see that? Can you see that here this morning? You see a little bit of this mentality in the story of the prodigal son anyway, with the oldest son. He comes to the house, and while everyone else is celebrating the return of the youngest son, he refuses to have anything to do with it. The father even begs him, come into the celebration, for this your brother. I can see the older son pointing his finger at his dad. Can you not? I have been here for years, Dad. I have faithfully been here, worked on this farm, never asked for anything in return. Never once did you throw a party for me. Never once did you cook steaks for me, Dad. Never once. And now my brother, who took all your money and spent it on drinking and with prostitutes, comes back home and you want to throw a party for him. You've got to be kidding me. Can you not hear him saying that? And you know what's sad? The story ends right there. It doesn't say anything more about the older son. It doesn't say if he went on in. It doesn't say if he forgave. It doesn't say anything like that. The two points of the story are this. Prodigal son, or the youngest one son, and the one who was lost and is now found. And the oldest son, the one who had lost his love and lost his compassion. Can you not see today, if that eldest son would have been on Facebook or would have been on Twitter, what he would have done? Can you not see what would have taken place? He'd have put everything he could put out there. And yes, he would have put little pink heart emojis right beside of it. I keep mentioning that little pink heart emoji because you know what it means? It means doing something with a passion. It means doing something with excitement. It's even an obsession. That's what it means. These people have an obsession with destroying lives. That's what it means. The oldest son lost his compassion and his love for those who had made a mistake. For the one who had made a mistake. Cancel culture, he offended me. Do your thing. Shame him. Destroy his life. Can I tell you this morning, Christians, don't fall into that trap. Matthew 6:15 tells us this. If we do not forgive men of their sins against you, neither will God forgive you of your sins. That's not me telling you that this morning. That's coming from the Bible. Those words are in red. That's Jesus saying those. This is where the story gets personal to everybody here this morning. If I were to sit down with each of you and ask you a personal question, and you were to be honest with me, do you have the cancel culture mentality in your life this morning? Do you have that? Do you have that mentality? And you don't have to be on Twitter or Facebook to have it. I would guess you'd tell me about someone who has hurt you, who has offended you, who has done you wrong, someone you don't want anything to do with ever again. And you tell everyone just how wrong you have been. I've been there. I could be honest with you this morning. I can tell you, this preacher has been there. I'm glad I don't have a social media account, Dolores. I'm tickled to death that I don't have it, because I would get myself in trouble. Because at times, I could fill up a whole page full of pink emojis. And also, as a pastor, can I tell you this and be honest with you? There are times I have to be careful because I take stuff way too personal. And maybe you do too. Maybe you do too. And you may not say something to them personally, but inside, you are ripping them apart. In this age of the keyboard warrior, and you know what I'm talking about? Those who have these little usernames, and they can go comment on all these sites, and all they got to do is comment, and that username doesn't let anybody know who they are. But can I tell you something this morning? God is fully aware of what's going on in your life. You may go by the name of Hillbilly Truck or Jeep Girl, whatever it may be. You type things and you say things and you let it go, and God sees it. He absolutely sees it. Romans 14:12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we should not engage in a cancel culture mentality, whether it's online or whether it's not as personal. Jesus tells us if you want your sins forgiven, you need to live a forgiving life. And you may be asking, well, how many times do I have to take this? Peter asked the same question of Jesus. And Jesus, he said, seven times? And Jesus said, no, seven times 70. Isn't that, just think about that. Jesus said, well, what he's saying is, there's no time where our forgiveness should ever fail. Romans 12:18 tells us, this for your part to live in peace with everybody, if it's possible. I know that goes against the world. I know that. But can I tell you something? We are not of the world. The world today says that we are not accepting apologies. I don't want anything to do with you. You're out of my life. In Matthew 18, Jesus said this in verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall sin against you and tell them their fault just between you and them, and if they listen and confess, you have won them over. Jesus said and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother of sins? Against me up to seven times? Jesus answered and said, seven times, but 77 times. Listen, in other words, there should be no ending to it. Forgiveness is part of our life. If we have to learn to let go, then Jesus tells the parable of the unmerciful servant to drive this point home to Peter and to us as well. He says in verse 35, it sums it up of that chapter. It says this, so then, this is how God will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers and sisters from their hearts. You know, remember the story of the unmerciful servant. The guy forgave him of what he owed him. And he went out and somebody owed him something and he had him thrown in jail. You see, we must learn to live what God is trying to have us to do. Listen, and just in case we think it is from within our own little circle, our own little family, Jesus said in Luke 6:35-36, he said this, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, for your reward shall be great. And you will be acting like your children of God, for God is kind to the unthankful. Let me step right there. Have you ever thought that you've helped somebody and they have been unthankful to you? Oh yeah. Lots of times in your life, probably lots of times in my life, I've helped somebody and I thought they are just unthankful. God said He is kind to the unthankful and those who are wicked. And you should be merciful because God is merciful. Just because they are unthankful, we should not cancel them. You must be merciful and compassionate. Compassion is greater than the cancel culture. Christians, we are called to act differently than this world. Proverbs 1, 15 and 16. My son, walk not in the ways with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. We should act, walk, and talk differently than this world. We forgive others when they don't. Yes, God is telling us we are going to do good to those we don't agree with, to those who do not like us. We are not to cancel them, but as much as lieth within us, we are to live at peace with them. The scripture that I read this morning from John about the man that was blind from birth, because he did not fall in line with religious mob, he was canceled, thrown out of the church. Do you know what it means to be thrown out of the church back in that days? They couldn't work. People shunned them. Huh, what's that sound like to you today? It sounds like the cancel culture to me. Sounds very familiar to me this morning. And we think that it's a new thing, but it's not. It's just as prevalent back then as it is today. They just didn't have the social media platforms to spread it, to spread the hate everywhere. If they'd have had these platforms, his face would have been put out there. All that he would have done would have been written underneath of it. And all the emojis put beside of it. And I'll tell you again this morning, all these examples in the Bible, they fit perfectly with us today. I am glad that Jesus Christ went to the cross. I am glad that He died for my sins. I am glad that He did not cancel me one day, because I deserve to be canceled. He didn't put my name out there and say, Twitter, do your thing. And He doesn't put your name out there this morning and say that either. Twitter, do your thing. I'm guessing I'm looking at a whole lot of folks here this morning who could say the same thing. The thankful God hasn't canceled you. That God, He gives second chances. I'm going to finish up with Colossians 3, 12 through 7. And I'd like for us to read that, please, together. It says this: Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness and humbleness, of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to thee which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Is that not amazing words to live by as we go down through our daily walk? As people do us wrong, as we think about commenting on something that maybe we should not comment on. But I'm here this morning to tell you, the cancel culture mob is not what Christianity should be about. God wants better for His children. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, as I come this morning, Lord, I thank You for this service, Lord. I thank You for the sermon, Lord. I pray, Father, that this message would go out the way that You would have it, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that hearts and minds would be receptive, have been receptive to this, Lord, this morning. And, Lord, that Father, all that's said and done here, Lord, this morning, You would be taken out, Lord, and used for Your glory and for Your honor, Lord. I thank You for Your mercy so much, Lord. Thank You for this message again. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.